Shalom to all. Today's office on Hetchin of Chafhei, and we're starting Chaf Dalet Amud Bey is the second to last line with the word Kasha. And today's office sponsor, Lila Nishmas, Mars Merim Sarabas, Yaakov Maisha, Hernish Amos should have an Aliyah. We were right in the middle of a Sugya. The Mishnah mentioned a number of people who are not allowed to be Dayanim or Edim, and the Gemara had discussed why Masachik Bakuvya, gamblers are puzzles. So Rabbi Barchama explained it's because of a smachta and a smachta lekanya. The gambler only agrees to play because he thinks he's going to win. If he knows that he's for sure going to lose, then he definitely is not going to play, and that makes the winner a ganiv because a loser doesn't willingly give him the money. Now, Rishishis argued that it's not because of this, it's for a different reason. He isn't involved in anything gainful, so he can't be trusted. And we conclude with a raya from the Mishnah for Rav Sheshes, in which Rabbi Yehuda says that they're only puzzle if they have no other omnis, they have no other craft. But if they have another omnis, then they're allowed. And that's just like Rav Sheshes, that since they're Isaac B'Yeshuvishal Olam, they have this other craft, they have a job, some gainful employment, so then they would be allowed to be Edom and Dayanim. And now picking up with that, the Gemara says, Kashla Rav Marchama, it seems to be the Mishnah is a question of Rav Marchama, because we have a clear raya to Rav Sheshes from the Mishnah, and that means it's not like Rav Marchama. If you want to say, suggests the Gemara, Pligir Rabbanan lay Rabbi Yehuda, that the Rabbanan, the Tanakam of the Mishnah, argue with Rabbi Yehuda, and it's only Rabbi Yehuda who holds that if they have another omnes, they could be a dayan or an aid. But the Chum argue, well, that can't be because of Rabbi Shubin Levi. Rabbi Shubin Levi said, Kol Makam Shem Rabbi Yehuda. Anytime Rabbi Yehuda says, Chafei Alman Alpha on top, either the word Emasai, when is this, or Ubameh, in what situation would this be? In El Lafar Shtiv Chachamim, he's just coming to explain what the Chum are saying. Rabbi Yechon just argues and says, Emasai Lafarish, and Ubameh is Lachlik, that the word Emasai is to explain, and Ubameh is an argument. But either which way, Ludukuli Alma, Emasai Lefarishu. According to everybody, both Rabbi Shimon Levi and Rabbi Yechanan, the word Emasai is just an explanatory word. It's either Rabbi Yehuda is arguing with them, so that means that everyone in the Mishnah, including the Tanakama, the Chamim, hold that if this fellow has some other omnis, some sort of gainful employment, even though he gambles on the side, it's not a problem. He's allowed to be an aid or a dayan. Clearly, not like Rabbi Marchama. Gemara says, Gavra Gavra Karamis, you're asking one man to Amar another, Meir Sover Pliyu, Meir Sover Lei Pligi. Rabbi Marchama holds that Rabbi Yehuda is arguing with the Chamim, whereas Rabbi Shimon Levi holds that he's not arguing with the Chamim. Rabbi Chama doesn't have to agree with Rabbi Shub and Levi and Rabbi Yechanan. Now that we're asking Rabbi Shub and Levi and Rabbi Yechanan, v'lay pligi, there's no machlokes when Rabbi Yehuda used the word emasai. Vatanya Uvi Brasa tells us, bein sheish lo omnis shalayhu, bein she'ein lo omnis elahu, whether he has a different profession other than gambling or this is the only thing he does. He just gambles, how he's a puzzle, this fellow's puzzle. And so we clearly say the Chamim argue with Rabbi Yehuda, and the word emasai that Rabbi Yehuda used in our Mishnah is an argument and not just an explanation. So the answer is no problem. Hahi Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Rab Tarfin, he, that Brasa could be Rabbi Yehuda in the Nim Rab Tarfin. Vatanya Uvi Brasa, what's this referring to? So let's say we have Reuven and Shimon sitting on the stoop and they see a fellow walking down the street. One of them remarks, I'm a Nazir if that guy's a Nazir. And the other one says, I'm a Nazir if that guy is not a Nazir. So seemingly, one of them should definitely be a Nazir. However, what does the Brisa tell us? Rabbi Yehuda and Rishon Tarfin, Rabbi Yehuda says, Rishon Tarfin, lo'olam ein echad mehem Nazir. Really, none of them is a Nazir. Lefi shaloi nitin Nazirus el afla, because Nazirus is given to afla. There has to be a clear expression of Nazirus that's not dependent on anything else in order for a person to be a Nazir. And this is not called afla, clear expression. It's dependent on an outside factor, whether or not that guy is a Nazir, and Rabbi Tarfin considers this an asmachta. Therefore, the brass that we just mentioned, which possibles gamblers from Eidos, even if they have other employment, could be Rabbi Tarfin, but that doesn't reflect on our Mishnah. Can you explain our Mishnah? We said Malvi Baribis, those who lend with interest, they're possible to be Edom and Dayanim. So Amarav Rava says, adding to the understanding, Loive Baribis possible Eidos, even if a person borrows Baribis, he's possible to Eidos, and that's because he's also Ivar Lav, not just the lender, but also the borrower. Asking more of Anantanan, Malvi Baribis. We learned in the Mishnah, Malve, someone who lends Baribis, not somebody who borrows. So Amar explains, no, Milve Haba Baribis. The Mishnah is saying, a loan which comes with ribis, it has interest in this loan, anyone who took part in it, the lender and the borrower, are not allowed to be edim. Now, the story about this, Barbenitos, this fellow, Ashidu Bey Tres Hadi, two people gave edus about him. Chan Amar one said, Kamedi di Isaac Barbisa, in front of me, he lent somebody else Baribis. Chan Amar the other aide said, Lidi di Isaac Barbisa, he lent me money Baribis. And Paul said, Rava la Barbenitos, Rava apostle Barbenitos for being an aide. Asking more of a Rava Huda Amar, Rava himself said, Levi Baribis apostle edus, if a person borrows Baribis, he's apostle edus. Mahavali Rasha, that means the borrower, who's one of the Edim testifying against Barbanitos is a Rasha. A Torah Amr, the Torah says, Al Tosh is Rasha aid, that a Rasha can't be an aid. So how could Rava trust this aid to possible Barbanitos if the aid himself admitted that I borrowed Baribis? So the Gemara answers, Rava Tamei, Rava Zoshitasei, the Marava. Rava says, Adam Karvetz Latzmai, a person is a relative of himself, Vein Adam Es Matzmai Rasha, and a person can't make himself a Rasha. You can't give Eidos about yourself because you're a Karav, and that means you can't make yourself a Rasha. Therefore, we believe the aid's testimony about Barbanitos that he lent money Baribis, but not about whom he lent it to. Another story about passing someone from being an aid. There was a butcher that it was found that he was selling treif meat. Rav Nachman passed him from being an aide and he removed him from his position of being a butcher. Also, what the guy do? Rabbi Mazi v'toifre, he grew out his hair and fingernails to show that he was doing tshuva. So Rav Nachman wanted to machshir him and say, okay, you could be an aide. However, Amalei Rav told him, maybe he's trying to trick you and it's just an external display, but he really didn't do tshuva. So what could he do? How could he fix himself up? The answer is, he tells us, Hachash al treifas, if someone suspected of selling treif meat, ain't le takana, the only takana he has is ad sheil chamakim she'ain makir noisai. He has to go to a place where they do not know him, and he has to return a lost object to somebody when it's a davar chashav, it's something important, and he doesn't keep it for himself, so that shows that he's trusted regarding money. Or alternatively, he throws away a treifa that belongs to him, as we see that even though he technically can gain a lot of money by keeping this treifa, he gives up on it, and that shows that he's following the halacha, and that he's not willing to bend dinim just to make some extra money, so we could trust him. Moving on to the next part of the Mishnah, we had said mafricha yoinim, which literally means pigeon flyers. These are also pasul edas. Ask where my mafricha yoinim, what does this mean, pigeon flyers? So we have two different explanations. Hachar teguma, over here it's explained, itikad mi yoinach liyoin, if your pigeon comes before mine, meaning they're pigeon racers. Two people are racing pigeons, and one guy says, if your pigeon comes before mine in the race, so then you'll get money. Rav Chama, he gives a different explanation. Ara is referring to this. That's what a pigeon flyer is. An ara is an expert at attracting other pigeons to come to his coops, and this is done by using a pigeon as a decoy, which in turn attracts others, enabling him to trap them, and this is basically stealing those pigeons from other people, as that's why he's a pasul aid. Now we analyze these two opinions. According to the first Manda Amar, that it's just pigeon racing, my time loy Amar Ara, why doesn't he say it's an Ara? So Ram Lachal explained to you, Ara b'nei Darkei Shalom ba'alma, then an Ara is only over on Darkei Shalom. According to strict halacha, pigeons in any given coop aren't really the owners. He didn't buy them or do anything that they belong to him. They simply got used to living in the house he provided for them, but could very well fly off to a different location tomorrow, and there isn't much he could do about it. It's only because of Darkei Shalom. We want to maintain peaceful relations between people that one isn't allowed to take pigeons from another coop. But if he does, that doesn't make him a ganiv, and therefore he would still be kashal edos, according to the first Manda Amar. And Manda Amar, Ara, my time aloy Amar, itikad miyonech liyoin, according to the second Manda Amar, Rav Chama bar Yishaya, why doesn't he explain like the first Manda Amar that it's pigeon racing? So Ram Lachal explained to you, that's the same thing as the first thing that we mentioned in Mishnah, playing with dice. It's just another form of gambling, so there's no reason to mention two different types of gambling in the Mishnah. And v'idach, what about the other Manda Amar? So he explains that the reason why we have to have two different types of gambling is because Tana Tolev Das Atzmai, V'Tana Tolev Das Yoinai. The first thing is Tolev Das Atzmai. When he's gambling with dice, he's relying on his own skill and fortitude and knowledge of how to gamble that he thinks he's going to win. Whereas the second type of gambling is when he's pigeon racing, he's really relying on his pigeon, which is different. And Utsricha, we need both of these. D'Tana Tolev Das Atzmai, if we only had the case of Tolev Das Atzmai, he was playing with dice, Hasam Hudal Garo Makni, I might say that over there, he's not really willing to give up on his money when he loses. Because he says to himself, I know that I'm a really good gambler. I know how to play the game. I know how to throw the dice. And therefore, when he loses, he's not really willing to give up that money. And that's why the other person would be a ganiv. But when he's relying on his pigeon getting to the finish line first, I might say that it's not really considered like stealing when he loses because he doesn't really trust that his pigeon is going to get there first. It's not up to him. It's up to his pigeon. And therefore, maybe the winner is not considered a ganiv. And if we only had the second case of pigeon racing, I might say the reason why the winner is considered a ganiv is the armor because he says, Benakshatali Melsa, everything has to do with the clackers. It also do with these pieces of wood that they used to bang together to urge their pigeon to fly faster. And I'm really good at clacking the pigeon clackers. And therefore, when he loses, he's not really willing to give up that money. When a guy's relying on his own skill, I might say that there's not really much he's able to do. It's just rolling the dice. Therefore, we need both cases of gambling in the Mishnah. Now, the Gemara tells Mesa, we have a Braisa, which at the end of this long Braisa that we quote in its entirety, we're going to have a question on the second Manda Amar of Ara. The mafricha yonim of our Mishnah is a guy who lures other pigeons into his coop. The Braisa tells us, hamasach b'kovya, those who gamble, elohim masachim epispasin, these are people who play with square wooden cubes, v'loy pispasin b'vad amru, it's not just these cubes, elafil klipi agazim klipi remainim, even if they play with shells of nuts or pomegranates, that's also considered gambling, v'emasai chazarasan, and when is it they're considered doing tshuva, mishiyish b'rios pispasin, they have to break these wooden cubes that they play with, v'yachsu b'ren chazar gemura, and they have to completely do tshuva, not gambling anymore, dafil b'chinamoy avdi, they can't even gamble for free, meaning they can't even play the game for fun with no money involved. They have to completely disassociate themselves from all gambling. Malva Beribis, people who lend Beribis, these people are pasul edim. Echra Malva Bechra Loive, this is whether they're a lender or the borrower. Famous Chazrasan, once considered they did tshuva, Mishayikra Shtarein, when they tear up their stars, Yachzer Behen Chazar Gemura, they do a full Chazar of this, Bafilu Nachri Loi Maisvi, and they don't even lend Beribis to a non Jew, which is 100% halachically permitted. They have to show they did full tshuva, and therefore they're not lend money Beribis to anyone. The Rasa continues, Mafricha Yainim, pigeon flyers, Elu Shemar Mesa Yainim, these are the ones that cause the pigeons to start up with each other. Another word for this is cockfighting. We have two chickens or roosters in a pen and they fight with each other. It's not just pigeons. Even other domesticated animals, wild animals or other birds that are fighting with each other, that's a problem. Once they consider a person to tshuva, when they break their wooden boards that make noise, they egg the birds on to fight with each other. They have to do a full tshuva. That even in the midbar they don't do this, meaning even though it's out of town and it's not where other people's animals might be, they still don't do this. They're pasul edim. These are people who do business with a pair of shvias. Rasan, once again, they did tshuva, mishtagiyah shvi'as acheres, when another Shemitah year comes, v'yivdalu, and they completely separate themselves from doing business again, and Aron Nechemiah says, lo chazar z'dvar b'lvad amru, it's not they're just chazar, and they don't do business. El chazar z'mamain, they have to return money that they did the business with back in the previous Shemitah. And Ketzad, how do they do this? Omer guy says, ani plain of our plaini, I so-and-so, kinasti masayim zuz b'per shvi'as, I gathered, meaning I profited 200 zuz off of per shvi'as, v'arehen nesun matan alaniyim, and behold, I'm giving to them as a present to poor people. Now that's a brisa, and here comes our question. Ketani mias, at any rate, we learned behema. That's not just mafricha yonim or apostle, but also if they do this with behemas, with domesticated animals. So bishlam manda amar itikad miyonich liyoin haindu mishkachas la behema. We understand according to the first manda amar, the first explanation of mafricha yonim, that it's simply pigeon racing. So the same thing could apply to domesticated animals. We know that people do horse racing, and so we could copy paste pigeon racing to animal racing. El manda amar are, but according to the second manda amar, rochar bar yishaya, then mafricha yonim is an are, a guy who lures other pigeons into his coop. Behem bas hachihu, is an animal able to do this? If he sends his cow out into the wild to try to get other wild animals to come, they're just going to eat him for lunch. So we can't copy paste mafriche yoinim to mafriche other animals. It just simply won't work. So Mar says not true. And we do have a situation b'shar habar with a wild ox. Ukman d'amar shar habar min behemahu, and it's like the man d'amar that a wild ox is a type of an animal. It could be domesticated. The Na'am of Mishnah tells us shar habar min behemahu. According to Tanakama, shar habar, a wild ox, is a type of behemah. It's not a chay. It's not a wild animal, but it's a domesticated animal. Whereas Rabbi Yosi Emer, he says min chay, it's a type of wild animal, and that means that a person could take a wild ox, domesticate him, and train him to go out there and lure other shar habars to come, and those might belong to other people, and that would be considered stealing. And so as Braisa, it turns out not to be a question on Rochon Bar Yishaya. Now the Gemara continues, adding on to our Mishnah. Tana, we have a Braisa that tells us, Hasifu Alein, they added on, later down the line, HaGazlan V'chamsonim, these people are also possible to give Eidos. Ask the Gemara, Gazlan Dai Raisahu. A Gazlan, a guy who steals, he's possible Dai Raisa to give Eidos. What does it mean they added this later on? The answer is, Lo Nishrach, the Hochel Hashi is, Elam Tzias Char Shait V'Katan, regarding somebody who takes something that was found by Char Shait V'Katan. Originally, they thought it's not a common thing, and therefore, when a guy takes something that a chershet or katan found, that doesn't constitute him as a gazlan, and he's not possible edus. Alternatively, the only reason why it's usher to take this thing that was found by the chershet and katan is because the darke shalom wouldn't want people to get into fights with each other. However, once they saw, meaning the chamim realized at the end of the day, this guy is taking money that he's not allowed to take. It's not his. It doesn't make a difference why he's not allowed to take it. It's usher the rice. It's usher the rabbanon. It's just the kana. The bottom line is he's taking money that's not his. Therefore, the Rabbanan said that he's pasul and he's not to give Eidos. We continue to the next thing, Hachamsonim. What about somebody who's over on Chamas, which is when you take something forcibly but you pay for it? So Meikarsav, originally they thought not to pasul him. Why is this? Damika Yaiv, at the end of the day, the Chamas is paying for what he's taking, and Akrei Ba'almahu, it's just Akrei Ba'alma, and really the person who's selling him the item, at the end of the day, wants to do it because he's getting money for it. However, Kivin Dechazu, the Kachatfi, Gazbi Rabbanan, once they saw that this Chamas was grabbing the item first and then paying for it, then they were geyser that if a person is a chaimes, he's pasul edos. And then we have another brayso. Eidos ifalein. They added on more people later on that are pasul edos. Harayim, shepherds, hagabayim v'amachsim, and different types of tax collectors. Rayim, what about shepherds? So Meikarsaver originally thought akrei ba'almahu. It just happenstance. The shepherd brought his flock into somebody else's field that wasn't on purpose, and therefore he's not considered a ganiv. However, kivin dechazu to come chavni v'shadul chtchila. Once they saw that the shepherds were intentionally taking their flocks into other people's fields, that's considered stealing outright. Gazbi rabbanon, the rabbanon were geyser that a shepherd is not allowed to give edos. Hagabayim v'amachsim. What about these tax collectors? So Meikarsaver originally thought the reason why they're not puzzle is my the kitzelhu kashakli. Whatever was set, that's what they took. There's an official amount of tax that had to be collected, and that's all the tax collectors took, and so they're not stealing anything, and they're not puzzle edos. However, came the chazud kashakli seira puzzlinhu, once they saw that tax collectors were taking more taxes than they were allowed to, that's considered stealing, and so they puzzle them. Now Rav explains, Raisha Amru, this shepherd that we're talking about, echad roi behema daka v'echad roi behema gasa, it doesn't make difference if he's a shepherd shepherding small animals like goats and sheep, or if he's herding large animals like cows, either which way they're puzzle. Asking more Rav Hachid, Rav really say this. Rav said, Roi behem adaka b'Eretz Yisrael psulin. If a person shepherds small animals in Eretz Yisrael, they're puzzle edus. Whereas b'chutz la'aretz ksheirin, if they shepherd small animals in chutz la'aretz, they're kasher edus. Whereas Roi behem agasa, if they herd large animals, afil b'Eretz Yisrael, even Eretz Yisrael ksheirin, they're still kasher. So you see, if a person is a herdsman of large animals, he's not puzzle edus. The answer is no. Who magat mitmar? That was stated in regards to raising animals in Eretz Yisrael. If a person raises small animals in Eretz Yisrael, so even though he keeps them in a pen, they're most probably going to escape and then eat from other people's fields, and that's why he's pasul edos. But if he raises large animals in Eretz Yisrael, it's much easier to guard them. They do not escape from their enclosure, and therefore he'd be kasher edos. But in terms of being a herdsman, it doesn't make a difference if it's large or small animals. He'd be pasul edos because they're eating in other people's fields. And Achinam Estaber is actually logical to say that. Meitani, since the Mishnah tells us that a person could say Nemanim Alai Shlesh Rai Bakar, the three Rai Bakar herdsmen of large animals, they're trusted to me, that shows that they're usually not trusted, but he's able to say, I trust them. And my level Eidos, isn't that referring to being an aid? So we see clearly from this Mishnah, they usually Roy Bakar are not trusted, but he could say, yes, I trust them. The Gemara says, well, it's not a Raya, Ladino. The Mishnah is talking about that he's accepting them upon himself to be Dayanim, not Eidim. And the economics actually Mudoik like that, because Mishnah says, Shloisha Roy Bakar, three. And Ve'ila Eidos, if we're talking about Eidos, Shloisha Lomeli, why is it mentioned three? It could have just mentioned two. Ask the Gemara of Elamai Ladino. So what do you want to say? That the guy's accepting these Roy Bakar upon himself as Dayanim? Well, then my ear is Shloisha Roy Bakar. Why is it that the Mishnah emphasizes three Roy Bakar? The Mishnah could really just mention this guy accepted upon himself any three people that don't know halacha. Why is it specifically emphasizing Roy Bakar? It must be that we're talking about Eidos and not to be a Dayan. The Gemara says, no, Hakikamer, this is really the Mishnah saying, Afilu Hani Doloy Shechichi B'Yishov. Even these people, these Roy Bakar, that they don't hang around the Yishov, they live out in the fields and farms with their animals, and they know less than a regular person who lives in the Yishov, because at least a person who lives in the Yishov, he lives in the city, he's involved daily in business dealings and whatnot, so he'll know basic halacha. But Roy Bakar, who are always out there, they don't know anything, and the Chiddush is that one could still accept them as Dayanim. Now, continue to discuss these things. Rabbi Yehuda says, Stam Raya, Pasol. A standard Raya is Pasol Eidos. Even if we don't have proof that he brought his animals into somebody else's fields, he's still Pasol. Whereas Stam Gabai, Kusher. A standard tax collector is Kusher. Unless you have proof that he's guilty of stealing, we can trust him that he's Kusher. And now we have a really nice story about an extremely honest tax collector, Avud Rab Zera, the father of Zera, Avud Gabi Yusa, Tleser Shnin. He was a Gabai, a tax collector, for 13 years. And what would he do? Kiav Asi Reish Nahar Lamasa, when the head of the river would come to the town. That's literally what Reish Nahar means. It's really referring to the governor of the province when he would come to the area. So what would the father of Zera do? Kiav Chaz Rabbanon, when he would see Rabbanon walking around, Amaluhu, he would tell them, quoting this pasuk, Lechami Baybachad Recha, go my nation, come into your rooms, and that was a hint for them to go and hide. And Kiav Chazi Inchid Masa, when he saw regular people of the town who weren't Tamil Chamim, Amar, he would tell them as follows, Reish Nahar Asal Masa, the head of the town is coming, Vehaidna, Nachas Ab Lupon Bura, Ubura Lufam Abba. And today he's going to shech the father in front of a son, and a son in front of a father. Now this is a hint for them to go and hide. He didn't want to tell them explicitly, go and hide from him, but he was hinting to them that there's going to be a lot of taxes, so you better go and hide. And the whole purpose of hiding was that when the governor of the town would see that there aren't enough townspeople to pay the tax, he would lower it because there's simply not enough people to pay it. And practically what happened, Chavav Amralf on top, everyone would hide themselves, and Kiasi, when his governor would come and levy a tax on the townspeople, Amalei, the father of Zera, would tell him, Miman Abai, who were we supposed to take it from? You're leaving such a heavy tax on us, but there aren't enough people in the town to pay it. And because of that, he would lower the tax. And Kenichanafshi, when the father of Zera was about to die, Amalei told the people around him, Shkul Tleser Mai, did Sire Libes Dinai, take the 13 ma that I have wrapped up in my kerchief, Bahajule Planya, and give it back to that fellow, Deshaklasinu Mine. I took it from him, Bavalai Shichuli, it turned out that I didn't need it, so give him back his tax money. And that shows an extremely honest tax collector, because don't we all wish that the government just returned our tax money back to us without us asking for it? We're going to stop for the day and pick up tomorrow and continue to explain the Mishnah. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.